Good morning. Welcome to worship, whether you're here in person or else you're here on the internet. May you feel God's presence. May you feel His Holy Spirit as we worship here today. God's Spirit. Jesus said, I will not leave you as orphans. I will send my Spirit to be with you and within us. He can guide us, direct us, correct us, lead us, convict us, so much more as we're going to see here. Has been active throughout history, right? The prophets hearing from the Holy Spirit. People today hearing from the Holy Spirit. Revival, a function of the Holy Spirit. Anybody else long to see revival? Yeah, revival within us and revival in this world, right, in this land. And Lord, if you can use us for that purpose, we offer ourselves up. But let's hear from Him through His Word.
I'm sorry that I messed up the screens during the first two songs. Thank you. All right. The first reading today is from Romans chapter 8, verses 5 through 11. Those who live according to the flesh have their minds set on what the flesh desires. But those who live in accordance with the Spirit have their minds set on what the Spirit desires. The mind governed by the flesh is death, but the mind governed by the Spirit is life and peace. The mind governed by the flesh is hostile to God. It does not submit to God's law, nor can it do so. Those who are in the realm of the flesh cannot please God. You, however, are not in the realm of the flesh, but are in the realm of the Spirit, if indeed the Spirit of God lives in you. And if anyone does not have the Spirit of Christ, they do not belong to Christ. But if Christ is in you, then even though your body is subject to death because of sin, the Spirit gives life because of righteousness. And if the Spirit of Him who raised Jesus from the dead is living in you, He who raised Christ from the dead will also give life to your mortal bodies because of His Spirit who lives in you. The second reading is from Acts chapter 2, verses 1 to 21. When the day of Pentecost came, they were all together in one place. Suddenly, a sound like the blowing of a violent wind came from heaven and filled the whole house where they were sitting. They saw what seemed to be tongues of fire that separated and came to rest on each of them. All of them were filled with the Holy Spirit and began to speak in other tongues as the Spirit enabled them. Now there were staying in Jerusalem God-fearing Jews from every nation under heaven. When they heard this sound, a crowd came together in bewilderment because each one heard their own language being spoken. Utterly amazed, they asked, "Aren't all these who are speaking Galileans? Then how is it that each of us hears them in our native language? Parthians, Medes, and Elamites, residents of Mesopotamia, Judea, and Cappadocia, Pontus, and Asia, Phrygia, and Pamphylia, Egypt, and the parts of Libya near Cyrene, visitors from Rome, both Jews and converts to Judaism, Cretans and Arabs, we hear them declaring the wonders of God in our own tongues." Amazed and perplexed, they asked one another, "What does this mean?" Some, however, made fun of them and said, "Oh, they've had too much wine." Then Peter stood up with the 11, raised his voice, and addressed the crowd, "Fellow Jews and all of you who live in Jerusalem, let me explain this to you. Listen carefully to what I say. These people are not drunk, as you suppose. It's only 9 in the morning. No, this is what was spoken by the prophet Joel. In the last days, God says, I will pour out my spirit on all people. Your sons and daughters will prophesy. Your young men will see visions. Your old men will dream dreams. Even on my servants, both men and women, I will pour out my spirit in those days, and they will prophesy. I will show wonders in the heavens above and signs on the earth below, blood and fire and billows of smoke. The sun will be turned to darkness and the moon to blood before the coming of the great and glorious day of the Lord, and everyone who calls on the name of the Lord will be saved. Here ends the readings.
Please stand if you're able for reading the gospel. Today's gospel is found in the book of John, chapter 14, verses 15 through 19. Jesus speaking. If you love me, keep my commands. And I will ask the Father, and he will give you another advocate to help you and to be with you forever, the Spirit of Truth. The world cannot accept him because it neither sees him nor knows him. But you know him, for he lives with you and will be in you. I will not leave you as orphans. I will come to you. Before long, the world will not see me anymore, but you will see me. Because I live, you also will live. Here ends the reading. You may be seated. Any kids want to head out for children's church? Feel free at this time. All right, have fun in there, huh? Good to see you. Love it. Lord, we thank you again for your word. We thank you for your Holy Spirit. As believers, he dwells within us. And, you know, he's always with us. You are always with us, Lord. You do not abandon us. And we can never thank you enough. Amen. All right, so Pentecost. Love it. You know, we get to hear about the Holy Spirit who is alive and active in this world. We don't always recognize it. You know, he works in many various creative ways. But, you know, God with us, Emmanuel, but this personal God, you know, that lives within us and, again, seeks to guide us and correct us. The Holy Spirit has been active throughout the Bible. At the very beginning, the Spirit moved over the waters. And the Psalms talks about the Holy Spirit. Lord, take not your Holy Spirit from me. David pleads when he's asking for forgiveness and repenting. So the Holy Spirit's always been there, just like the Father and the Son. The three have always existed and always will. Again, our human minds can't really wrap themselves around that concept of eternity. But God's got this, and he's good. So the people are gathered here. This is after the crucifixion. 50 days after the ascension, Pentecost. Penta means 5, right? 50. The disciples had seen Jesus a few times, encountered him. They were living in fear. Then he ascended, and he said, but I will leave you with my spirit. Your spirit will come. So they're waiting and wondering, when is the spirit going to come? How is it going to appear? And they are gathered together at Pentecost. This is a festival day that celebrates the giving of the law in Sinai. That was the Jewish Pentecost. But now it takes on a new meaning. When we think of Pentecost, how many think of the giving of the law on Sinai? How many think of the Holy Spirit coming and starting the church? Amen. Yeah. So it just took on a whole new meaning on this day. The people are gathered together in one place, and suddenly a sound like the blowing of a violent wind came from heaven and filled the whole house where they're sitting. You know, when God moves, he's creative. And he does ways and things that, or does things in ways that we can't always understand and we can't explain. A wind out of nowhere, or at least the sound of one. Okay, that gets your attention a little bit. But all of a sudden, these tongues of flame, huh? They saw what seemed to be tongues of fire that separated and came to rest on each of them. So this tongue of flame comes down, it separates, and then it rests on each of them, as you see that. And I'd like to say I could look out right now and see the tongue of fire on each of you. Now, the Holy Spirit dwells within us, but it's great to see the physical evidence here, too. Again, something they can't explain. This is an attention getter for sure. It's got their attention. Now there were staying in Jerusalem God-fearing Jews from every nation under heaven. When they heard this sound, a crowd came together in bewilderment. If a crowd's gathering, there's something going on, right? A parade, maybe a fight sometimes or something. But anyway, there's something that's drawing people in. There's something unusual happening. And that's what's happening here, something very unusual. And these people were in town for this festival. People had come from all over, as Kelly read earlier, right? And did a wonderful job pronouncing all these various tribes, nations, okay? They had gathered from everywhere. And now they're experiencing something. They're experiencing this excitement. So they come together. God's calling. He's gathering is what he's doing. He's using this to gather people together. And once he's got them there, they start to speak. And each person hearing in their own language. Isn't that crazy? You got people from all over. If you're thinking about today, you know, maybe one person's hearing in Spanish, another's hearing in Portuguese, another's hearing in Filipino, another person's hearing in, well, I suppose Norwegian. You know, that was the language of the Garden of Eden, right, when God gave language? No? Okay, we don't have any proof of that. Okay, but anyway, getting back to it, they're all hearing in their own language, and you cannot deny this. This is something that there's no other way to explain it. It's got God's stamp of authenticity right on it. We can't explain it in any other way. And that's why someday I'd love to see a miracle that I can't explain in any other way, especially as a scientist. I just want to see something that I cannot explain. Okay, our belief is enough, right? But it would be really cool to see that. So these people then see this and they hear the disciples talking. It says, we hear them declaring the words, wonders of God in our own tongues. It doesn't record, unfortunately, what they were saying. They were declaring the wonders of God. What were they saying? I would love to know. They must have been telling them that Jesus is Lord. And they must have been telling them that, you know, there is one God and he has come. We don't know what all they said, but the wonders of God, that leaves it wide open. There are so many wonderful things about God. So to hear it in their own tongues, they have experienced a miracle. Now, these people are going to eventually go back to their own countries. Guess what they're bringing back with them? The wonders of God. The stories. They're spreading the gospel. God arranged this, got people from all over to come together, inspired them, filled them up with the Holy Spirit, and then now sent them out to make disciples of all nations. I mean, it's spreading then. And it's going to go to these various places. It's going to go to Libya. It's going to go to Asia, to Pontus, Cappadocia, Phrygia, Pamphylia, Crete, of all places, and Arabia. It's going to spread all over. This is the start of the church. This is where it all begins. And we're sitting here today as a result of this as well. If each of us was to trace back our faith, who'd we hear it from? Who'd they hear it from? Who'd they hear it from? It's going to come back to this. This is where it spread all over. Wow. So we are here as a result of this as well. And the Holy Spirit had come in a big way. This Holy Spirit had been at work since the beginning, inspiring all these prophecies from the Old Testament, the Spirit speaking to people. And now the Spirit within us as well. The Spirit does so many things. Again, it guides us, it directs us, corrects us, convicts us, encourages us. We got to get in touch with our Spirit. God is Spirit. And we must worship him in spirit and truth. We are made in God's image, therefore we have a spirit as well. And it's the Spirit within us that can connect with the Spirit of God. When you experience things in the Spirit, you get maybe a vision in the Spirit or just a feeling in the Spirit. You just know something. It's really cool how God can work and how he can just reaffirm something. I remember one time meeting a guy that I just got this overwhelming feeling, this guy is good. It was just, it was getting confirmed big time. I can't explain it any other way. It was the Spirit. And he is a good man. I haven't seen him since then, but. And other times the Spirit was just sort of warning you, something doesn't feel right. Be cautious. Again, the Spirit within us can discern and communicate to us. We have to be in touch with that Spirit. So now that God's got everybody's attention, he got the disciples' attention with the wind and the fire. Okay, now with these language things, he's got everybody's attention. Then Peter stands up full of the Holy Spirit and addresses the crowd. And tells them, no, these men are not drunk. They've not had too much wine. It's only 9 in the morning. But then he starts to quote Joel. In the last days, God says, I will pour out my spirit on all people. So when are these last days? Have they already come? Well, according to our understanding, we're living in them. The last days would encompass the time from Jesus' first coming to his second coming. Been 2,000 years of last days so far. That's our understanding. Of course, there will be the last days as well. And that is approaching, of course. Mathematically, every day we're a day closer, but we're starting to see things come into place, you know, prophecies fulfilled and things happening where it's getting close. It is coming again. Maybe even in our lifetimes. And how cool would that be? To all of a sudden hear the trumpets, the shout of the angel, and just, you know, Jesus. Wow. To call us home, to bring us home, right? One way or another, he's going to bring us home. If we die first, he himself is going to come get us, he says in John 14. But, so these things are going to happen. Your sons and daughters will prophesy. Well, they're going to prophesy because of the Holy Spirit, right? He's going to pour out his spirit in those days, and they will prophesy. So any prophecies you get are words of knowledge or just sometimes that feeling and that knowing. It's the Holy Spirit. Of course, there's other spirits at work too, and we have to be able to discern. Because there's the spirits that seek to lead us away from God. The enemy's goal is to lead us, separate us from God, if possible, for eternity. None of us want that. So we have to tune into the right spirits, the Holy Spirit especially. So Peter goes on, and he carries on with this speech, which you can read. It follows the whole page and then the next page. You read it again sometime. But it was very convincing. At the end of this speech, 3,000 were added to their number. Okay, we had a small number of believers. We don't know how many at this time. But all of a sudden, as a result of this miracle, as a result of what the Holy Spirit says through Peter, 3,000 people were added that day. Wow, how cool is that? If, you know, 3,000 people were suddenly added to our congregation. Yeah, we got to have some growth pains, aren't we? Okay, we own the land of the back, we own the land of the side, but, you know, 3,000? Well, we're not in Jerusalem, we're not in a big town, okay? But it's just incredible. Now all of a sudden they had to inform all these people, they had to share this, the truth with all these people, they had to be responsible for the spiritual guidance of these people. Can imagine what happened next. It just had to have been, the people want to hear more. They want to hear more of the truth. They want to hear more about God. We can never get enough of him. And they want to hear more about this way. And Jesus, of course, is the way, the truth, and the life. So this fellowship of believers starts, called the Way. We call it, you know, the body of Christ or the church today, but it's originally called the Way. It was in a movement that started as a result of this, where people came together, they started sharing what they had, encouraging each other, until ultimately they were scattered, but bringing the gospel again with them to various places. All part of God's plan, okay? He works in strange ways. So this Holy Spirit that was at work here, the same Spirit, now lives in us. We heard that in Romans today. Where we heard sort of a two-way, two choices, two possibilities here. Living according to the flesh or living according to the Spirit. We all got a choice. Many of us have lived in the flesh, but then have come to the truth and now live in the Spirit. And it differentiates between the two. Those who live according to the flesh have their minds set on what the flesh desires, the things of this world, okay, that call to us, that tempt us, that try to lead us into a different way. But those who live in accordance with the Spirit have their minds set on what the Spirit desires. What does the Spirit desire? What God does, right? That we love one another, that we live in peace, that we have joy, that we are kind to others, that we do justice, love, kindness, and walk humbly with our God. All these things. The mind governed by the flesh is death, but the mind governed by the Spirit is life and peace. You know, what you're going to choose there. The mind governed by the flesh is hostile to God. It does not submit to God's law, nor can it do so. And those who are in the realm of the flesh cannot please God. Anybody that's pursuing those other things, they're not hearing from God. They're rejecting him, replacing with other things that are going to lead to death. We pray that they would see the truth, experience the truth, know the truth, and be set free by it. But it says, you, however, you who are believers, are not in the realm of the flesh, but are in the realm of the Spirit. We don't follow the ways of the flesh. We follow God's ways. that he communicates to us through that Spirit. If indeed the Spirit of God lives in you. If the Spirit of God lives in you. And when does that happen, huh? How does a person get filled with this Spirit? Well, Paul writes to the Ephesians, Ephesians 1:13, telling that when you believed, you're marked in him with a seal, the promised Holy Spirit, who is a deposit, guaranteeing our inheritance till the redemption of those who are God's possession to the praise of his glory. So when you believed, when your faith became real, you're not going to get there on your parents' coattails, okay, just because you're raised in a Christian home and you know about God. That's knowing about him, but knowing him, believing, where you, this faith is my own, I love you, God, and I surrender my life to you. When you believe, you'll be filled with that Holy Spirit. And then you'll see things in a different way. You don't see according to the flesh anymore. We see through God's eyes, basically, what he desires, what he would have us to live, how he would have us to live. And we are marked with that seal, the promised Holy Spirit, a deposit guaranteeing what's to come, something better. So having the Spirit within us as believers, again, it opens up our eyes to all kinds of things. But if anyone does not have the Spirit of Christ, they do not belong to Christ. Wow. That would, yeah, the day of judgment comes, it would not be good. But if Christ is in you, if you're a believer, then even though your body is subject to death, and this body will pass away because of sin, the Spirit gives life. It gives us life in this life, but also life eternal. We have that promise of what's to come. But in this life, being guided by God, living in his Spirit, it's a whole different experience. And you can tell the people that are alive in the Spirit. They just have this joy. It just radiates from them and attracts others in, hopefully, so that they can be filled as well, that they can accept Jesus. If the Spirit is living in you, he who raised Christ from the dead will also give life to your mortal bodies because of his Spirit who lives in you. So the same Spirit that raised Jesus from the dead now lives in us and enables us to do all kinds of things that we can't. And it should show. It should show. If God's Spirit is living in you, we should see the fruits of the Spirit, right? Love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, self-control. All these things should be showing in our lives. That we have joy, that we show love to others. Even in the tough times, we're connected to him, depending on him. And this Holy Spirit that dwells within us, again, going to reassure us, going to energize us, going to comfort us, going to do so many things. The functions of it we'll get to in just a bit here. But we thank you, God, for this. So the Spirit lives in us just as Jesus promised. And that's what we'd heard in the gospel today, finally. Jesus, in chapters 14 through 17 here, he is telling his disciples about what's to come, reassuring them, praying for them, encouraging them. This is right after the Last Supper, before he goes to Gethsemane. And these chapters are precious. Read through them again. All the promises of what he's going to do. Today we had heard, if you love me, keep my commands. And I will ask the Father, and he will give you another advocate to help you and be with you forever, the Spirit of truth. This advocate, the Holy Spirit, and that's just one thing he does. An advocate is someone that pleads on your behalf. We also hear that he is the comforter, that he is the counselor, that he is an encourager. There are so many functions of the Holy Spirit. Going to communicate with us, going to seek to guide us in the right way. Now, we could ignore it and turn away from it, but who would want to? Again, the fleshly desires are always calling. Always calling. But when we have that Spirit within us, we know right from wrong, and we can follow God instead. This advocate to help you, he's here to help. Even when he's convicting us, it's to help. It's for our own good, and we all need that sometimes. And to be with you forever. Not only in this life, but forever. The Spirit of truth. Jesus said, I am the way, the truth, and the life, right? And it is his Spirit that he leaves with us. It's Jesus, the Holy Spirit. You know, Father, Son, Holy Spirit, they're all interconnected. And it's this gift, it says, again, I'll ask the Father and he will give you another advocate. We can't buy it. it's something that he gives. And if you read Luke 11:13, it says, how much more will he give of his Holy Spirit to those who ask of him? Every morning on, or every Sunday morning on the drive-in, I'm always, Lord, fill me with your Holy Spirit. Fill me with your Holy Spirit. I'm asking him. I'm taking him up on his promise that he'll speak truth through me. And we should all ask for that, for the Holy Spirit, to be filled anew with the Holy Spirit. That, again, we can be radiating it to others and blessing others in the process. But it's a gift, an incredible gift that is going to be with us no matter what. His Spirit dwells within us, as it says. The Spirit of truth. The world cannot accept him. Oh boy, yeah. Do we see the world going other ways many times? Absolutely. Living other alternate lifestyles, encouraging people, you know, separating them from God, doing the wrong thing. And they reject him. Those that are caught up in the things of the flesh cannot understand God. It just told us in Romans 8. And here once again, they cannot accept him. He's standing there offering love, offering eternal life, offering everything we need. And people say, no thanks. I want to pursue my own fleshly desires. Well, so much were many of us, you know, but we were changed. This world neither sees him nor knows him. Exactly true too. Can you prove anybody that God exists? No, you can't really prove it mathematically or with the things of the world. So they don't see him, and as a result don't know him, don't recognize him. It's something you almost have to more experience, the Holy Spirit. Once you believe in God, you give yourself over to him, you're going to experience it. And it is indeed indescribable. But other people, you know, if you can't see it, touch it, taste it, feel it, they're going to reject it many times. But the things of the Spirit are not the things of the flesh, right? The things of God are not the things of this world. Very real. Very real. Of course, God and the spirit realm, angels and demons, everything like that, very real. But like the Holy Spirit, we don't see it. We just see the results of it. The Holy Spirit is like the wind. You can't see the wind, but you can feel it. And you can see the results of it when the wind, you know, is blowing things around or blows something over. And in the same way, the things of the spirit world, we can't see them. But we can see and feel their effects. When someone's following the ways of the flesh, we can see the effects of that. Things like addiction. You know, not all the... We have the kids we've taken in, their kids, their parents have chosen other things over them. Being misled, right? The things of the flesh, the things of this world. Alrighty. The world cannot accept him, it neither sees nor knows him, but you know him, for he lives with you and will be in you. Again, if you're a believer, that spirit dwells in you. I will not leave you as orphans. Jesus is telling them, I'm going to leave here soon. But I'm not going to abandon you. To be left as an orphan would be to abandon. And it's a horrible thing when a child doesn't have parents. But he will not leave us as orphans. He says, I will come to you. Before long, the world will not see me anymore, but you will see me. Because I live, you also will live. And he left his spirit with us, right? The spirit that lives within us. He says, the advocate, the Holy Spirit, whom the Father will send in my name, in Jesus' name, will teach you all things. Will remind you of everything I've said to you. Do not let your hearts be troubled. Do not be afraid. So, Lord, we ask that you would help us to get in touch with your spirit, you know, through the spirits that live in us. We are more than people. We are spirits surrounded by a carbon-based life form, yes, but we are spirits. And help us to realize that, Lord, to recognize it, that we may come to know you better. Come to hear from you better. That you can make us, use us to make a difference in this world. To your glory, not ours. Amen.